I'm going to pre-apologize. When I printed my message today, my printer decided it was only going to half work. So I've got some full lines and some half lines. So if I speak in gibberish, it's because I'm reading the half lines. But no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read from the scripture and go that route. So if I'm turning pages and it's distracting, I apologize ahead of time. But sometimes you have to call an audible. And today is that day. So, with that, today's scripture is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 5. Told you I'm a little frustrated. All right. So Peter writes, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not conform to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but he was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him all believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of the perishable, but of the imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And in the word is the good news that was preached for you." I'm going to ask you to do something, and I'm not trying to cause anybody any grief when I ask you to do this. And I'm going to ask some of you to go a little bit farther back in your life than others. Go back to your very first crush love. The very first one. Think about it. How did it turn out? Any of you here with that very first crush love? But yet, it hurt. And I ask you, when it hurt, when that crush love ended, where did it hurt? Where did you feel it? Did you feel it here? Did you feel it in your knee? No, you felt it here. Your heart was broken. Your heart was hurt. As Peter is writing this letter, he's writing to those in dispersion, those who have been run out of Jerusalem, and they're in modern-day Turkey, many of the churches that Paul had formed. And he's writing this letter to, believe it or not, encourage them. But he has to do it in a way. When our first crush, that ended, our heart was broken and our mind, we were saying to our mind, you got to get in line. Your heart, you got to get in line with your mind. You got to move on. You got to go forward. But yet, here we are. We are preserved as God's children through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that love dwells in you. It's the precious gift given to you by Jesus Christ when he sent the Holy Spirit. And when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit moved in. And when you talk to somebody about, tell me about your relationship with Christ, they would often say, well, I gave my heart to Christ at this age. Or I gave my heart to Christ after this event. And Peter is saying, that's right. Christ is in your heart. You gave him your heart, but you also gave him your body, your mind, and your soul, and you should live accordingly to that. So as I wrote as the title of the scripture, it's time for an alignment. Your heart, you now have the heart of God in you. You also have the heart of a sinful man in you. But now you have to get your mind in alignment with your heart. The heart of Christ. To step away from the desires of the flesh, to live for the love that is given through us through Christ. Peter is challenging us to be sober-minded and set your hope fully on the grace. Where is your hope? Does your hope lie in anything on this earth? If it does, brothers and sisters, we're in trouble. I will tell you, we are in trouble. But if your hope lies in the grace of God, you're in good company. And everything that will happen will bring you to Him. This time that we are in, just as the people of Peter's letter, they were in trials and they were in suffering and they were being criticized and disassembled because what? They believed in something bigger than what this world had to offer. And so do we. But that's that battle that's in all believers. That battle between what I should do to honor God and what I should do to fight off the sinful heart that I was born with. My heart of Adam must go away so that my heart of Christ may increase. That's why Peter writes, as obedient children, do not conform to the passions of your former ignorance. He wasn't calling them, pardon the word, he wasn't calling them stupid. He was saying you were ignorant. You didn't know, but now that you know, step away from your fleshly desires and grow more in Christ. Challenge. It's a challenge for all of us. But then he reminds them. He says, as you were called, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Your behavior is to glorify God. And believe it or not, it's just not for this hour that you sit in these pews. It's for every living hour of your life to honor God, to be holy. Some of us might say, well, I'm not holy. How can I be holy? I'm sinful. I despise my sin, but I can't stop it. I ask you this. The implements that were put in the tabernacle that Moses ordered to be created, what made those implements holy? Was it the fine craftsmanship? Was it the precious metals that it was made of? Was it just the fact that they were put in the tabernacle? Is that what made them holy? No. It was made holy because God blessed them and said, "You are holy." It is holy. He has done the same for you and for me, all who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He says, "You are holy because I said so." Now that you're holy, now that you're wearing that suit of holiness, display it. Take it with you everywhere you go. we would say, I've said it in the past, I don't understand, Lord, why will you put this burden on me? I can't be holy. But God says, not in yourself you can be holy, but in me, in my Son. Live the life that we have now given you. You, a new creature, a new creation in Christ. Live the life that Christ has done. Peter writes, says, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Notice that you are ransomed. That ransom was paid in full. You were once a slave to sin, but now you are no longer a slave to sin. You were born with Adam's heart, but you have been gifted the heart of Christ. And Adam's heart will go away. You've been ransomed, but not with perishable things, not with gold or silver. In this world today, as it was back when Peter was writing it, gold and silver were some of the most precious and valuable metals known to man. Even today, society will look at a man or a woman and say, well, they got to be successful because they got bunches of money. Yet, as we will discover, at one time or another, they can't take it with them. So Peter is saying this is not done with the stuff that the world says is valuable. That stuff is perishable. It will go away. Here today, gone tomorrow, nothing we can do about it. He says, but no, your ransom has been paid with the blood of Christ. When you didn't deserve it, it was freely given to you. This Christ was foreknown before time. There was an agreement in heaven when God sat down with Christ and said, before I make this creation, and before I put these things in place, or before we do it, there's going to be a time when you're going to become a man. Because my creation is going to fail me. They're going to be disobedient to me. But there's a time when you, the Creator, in Jesus Christ, will now become a creature, and you will live the life that no other man was able to live once Adam sinned. Because there was a wonderful time in Adam's life before he ate of the tree of good and evil, where he saw God. He lived with God. He was in the presence of God. God would walk with them in the cool of the evening. Yeah, Adam's sin separated man, all of us, from God because God says, I don't do sin. So in that foreknowledge, before time, God went to Jesus and says, you will become a man. You will live the perfect life. And you will die a death that you don't deserve for people who deserve to die like you died. And that sacrifice will be the perfect sacrifice, so no longer will animals have to die to satisfy the sins of man. So as Peter is writing this to these people in these churches where they're struggling and they're suffering and they're under tribulation, saying, don't be so quick to lean on this world. This world is temporary. This world will flatter your heart, but this world can destroy your soul. Don't give in. You're in an area where you're a stranger. You're in an area where you're oppressed. You're in an area where people look at you different. They talk about you differently. But yet, do not give in. Prepare your minds for action, being sober-minded. Let your mind connect directly with the heart of Christ. Paul writes about it in Romans in chapter 12, and I got to find it. And again, I apologize. At 1 and 2, he writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Your life is your spiritual worship. Your life is displaying God's love. He says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Get your heart and your mind in order. Living for Jesus, trusting in Him, that is your hope. You are secure because of the work of Christ. Do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. As you go through trials in your life, whether it's sickness, whether it's loss of job, whether it's a breakup of the family, whether it's a struggle with drugs or alcohol, whatever it is, give it to God. Put your heart and your mind in order, knowing that the only hope you have is in Jesus Christ. And be strengthened in that. It's the encouragement that we have as God's children. Christ has purified your souls by the obedience to the truth. What is the truth? We live in a world today where people will tell you, well, that's my truth. You don't know anything about it. That's my truth. Or you may say, well, that's my truth. I live like I live because of my truth. Or I do what I do because of my truth. Or you do what you do because of your truth. There is one truth. And only one truth. That truth is the Word of God, secured in us through the life, death, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that should give us strength, that we're not trying to figure out the will of man. We have to figure out the will of God. We seek Him in prayer and in reading the Scripture and in fellowship of likewise believers, that we support and build each other up. We rebuke in love. We strengthen in compassion, that we come together as Christ's people to show the love of Christ to everyone in this room and everyone out there. It's our job. He says, you have been born again, not by the perishable. Your ransom, your sinful nature, was paid for fully by the imperishable blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. A gift we did not deserve, at a price higher than we can ever conceive. Peter says, don't live for this world. Live for Christ. You look at the world, and he quotes out of Isaiah, the flesh is like grass, and the glory of its flower, the glory like the flower of grass, the grass withers, and the flower fails. Everything in this world is going to come to an end. It's temporary. It's temporal. Yet salvation is secured in Jesus Christ for your eternal life. You're either going to be with Christ or you're not. It's that simple. And he writes, the word of the Lord remains forever. And the word is the good news that was preached to you. What was the good news? The good news means the gospel of Jesus Christ. The life, the teachings, the death, the resurrection, all given in Christ, secured our life with the Lord. As John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Peter's taking it right back to that. The Word, Jesus Christ. He is God. He is your hope. He is your salvation. And with that, your life should glorify Him, regardless of the circumstances you're put in. Because we have the blessing of knowing that God will never leave us or forsake us. And we have strength in knowing that. That as we go through trials, as we go through struggles, as we go through sickness, whatever the circumstances of our life is temporary, but we're not alone. Remember, you are a child of God. You are secured in salvation through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that relationship with Christ, I pray that you will go to the Lord and confess your sins and ask Him to enter your heart. I don't know that for you. Only you know where you're at with that. But we as Christians must live for Christ and honor Christ in all we do. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how we do thank you again for this time and for your word, for your love for us through Jesus Christ. Lord, may we live a life that glorifies you and forgive us where we fall short. Bless this time together and bless us as we go out into the world to strengthen us to share Christ with all. In His name we pray. Amen. At this time, if you'll open up your hymnals to hymn number 33, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Let us stand and sing.